Life of St. Augustine by Placidius. Part 2. Chapter 3. The Retirement of Augustine. When he had received the grace of God, he determined with others of his neighbors and friends, who served God with him, to return to Africa, to his own home and lands, to which he came, and in which he was settled for about 3 years. He now gave up these possessions, and began to live with those who had also consecrated themselves to God, in fastings and prayers and good works, meditating day and night on the law of the Lord. And the things which God revealed to him through prayer and meditation, he taught both those present and absent, in his sermons and books. Now it happened at this time that one of those whom they call agents in affairs, who lived at Hippo Regius, a good Christian who feared God, heard of his good fame and learning. He earnestly sought to see him, declaring that he was ready to reject all the passions and allurements of this world, if he were but counted worthy to hear the word of God from Augustine's lips. When this was brought to Augustine by trustworthy report, he longed to rescue that soul from the dangers of this life, and from eternal death. So, of his own accord, he went in haste to that famous city, and when he had seen the man, he spoke to him frequently, and exhorted him that in so far as God had blessed him, he should pay to God what he had vowed. Day after day, he promised to do so, but did not fulfill this while Augustine was present. And yet surely, in this case, that could not have proved vain and ineffectual, which divine providence was everywhere accomplishing, by means of this vessel purged unto honor, meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Chapter 4. He is seized for the office of presbyter. Now at this time the holy Valerius was bishop in the Catholic Church at Hippo. But owing to the increasing demands of ecclesiastical duty, he addressed the people of God, and exhorted them to provide and ordain a presbyter for the city. The Catholics, already acquainted with the life and teaching of the holy Augustine, laid hands on him, for he was standing there among the people, secure, and unaware of what was about to happen. For, while a layman, he was careful, as he told us, to withhold his presence solely from those churches which had no bishops. So they laid hands on him, and, as is the custom in such cases, brought him to the bishop to be ordained. For all, with common consent, desired that this should be done and accomplished, and they demanded it with great zeal and clamor, while he wept freely. But some, as he himself later told us, at the time, ascribed his tears to wounded pride, and, by way of consolation, told him that while he was worthy of greater honor, the office of priest was but little inferior to the bishopric. But the man of God, as he told us, understood with greater comprehension, and mourned as he apprehended the many imminent dangers which threatened his life in the direction and government of the church. And for this reason he wept. But their desire was accomplished as they wished. Chapter 5. He establishes a monastery. Soon after he had been made priest, he established a monastery within the church, and began to live with the servants of God according to the manner and rule instituted by the holy apostles. The principal rule of this society was that no one should possess anything of his own, but that all things should be held in common and be distributed to each one as he had need. As Augustine had formerly done, after he returned to his native home, from across the sea. But the holy Valerius, who ordained him, a good man, fearing God, rejoiced and gave thanks to God. He said the Lord had heard the prayers which he had unceasingly poured forth, that divine providence would grant him such a man, who, by his salutary teaching of the Word of God, could edify the Church of the Lord. For Valerius, a Greek by birth, and less versed in the Latin language and literature, saw that he himself was less useful for this end. Therefore he gave his priest the right of preaching the gospel in his presence in the church, and, very frequently, of holding public discussions, contrary to the practice and custom of the African churches. On this account some bishops found fault with him. But the venerable and prudent man knew well that this was the custom in the Eastern churches, and considered only the welfare of the church, and took no notice of the words of his detractors, if only his priest might do that which he saw could not be accomplished by himself as bishop. Wherefore this burning and shining light was placed upon a candlestick, and gave light to all who were in the house. And after the report of this had rapidly spread by reason of the good example which preceded it, some other priests, by permission of their bishops, began to preach to the people in their presence. Chapter 6. The Conflict of Augustine with Fortunatus, a Manichaean. Now, in the city of Hippo at this time, the plague of the Manichaeans had infected and permeated very many, both citizens and strangers, who were seduced and deceived by a certain priest of that heresy, Fortunatus by name, who lived and dwelt there. Meanwhile, the Christians of Hippo, whether citizens or strangers, Catholics or even Donatists, came to the priest Augustine and demanded that he should meet this priest of the Manichaeans, whom they regarded as a learned man, and argue with him about the law. This he in no wise refused, for as it is written, he was ready to give an answer to every man that asked him a reason of the hope and faith that is toward God, and was able by sound doctrine both to exhort and refute the gainsayers. But he sought to learn whether Fortunatus were willing that this should take place. So they at once reported the matter to Fortunatus, asking, urging, and even demanding that he should on no account refuse. But since Fortunatus had previously known the holy Augustine at Carthage, when Augustine was still involved with himself in this same error, he was afraid to meet him. Nevertheless, he was greatly urged and shamed by the insistency of his followers, and promised that he would meet him face to face and enter the contest of debate. So they met at an appointed time and place, where many who were interested and crowds of the curious quickly gathered. When the reporters' books had been opened, the discussion was begun on the first day, and ended on the second. In this discussion, the Manichaean teacher, as the evidence of the record proves, could neither refute the Catholic argument, nor could he prove that the sect of the Manichaeans was founded on truth. But failing in his final answer, he declared that he would refer to his superiors the arguments which he had been unable to refute, and, if perchance they should not satisfy him on these matters, he would consult the welfare of his own soul. Thereupon, all who had formerly regarded him as great and learned now judged that he had accomplished nothing in the defense of his own sect. Overwhelmed with confusion, he left the city of Hippo soon after, and returned to it no more. Thus this error was removed by that memorable man of God from the hearts of all those present, or those absent, who learned what had been done. And the Catholic faith was declared and upheld as the true religion. Chapter 7. The books and treatises of Augustine against the enemies of the faith are eagerly received, even by the heretics themselves. In private and in public, at home and in the church, Augustine taught and preached the word of salvation with all confidence against the African heresies, especially against the Donatists, Manichaeans, and pagans, both in his finished books and extemporaneous sermons. The Christians, who did not keep silent but spread it abroad wherever they could, being filled with unspeakable joy and praise. And so, with God's help, the Catholic Church in Africa began to lift its head, having for a long time lain prostrate, seduced, oppressed, and overpowered, while the heretics were gaining strength, especially the rebaptizing Donatist party, which comprised a large multitude of the Africans. Even the heretics themselves gathered together, and, with the Catholics, listened most eagerly to these books and treatises which issued and flowed forth by the wonderful grace of God, filled with abundance of reason and the authority of Holy Scripture. Each one also, who would or could, bringing reporters, and taking down what was said. And thence, throughout all Africa, the glorious doctrine and most sweet savour of Christ was spread abroad and made manifest, while the Church of God across the sea heard of it and also rejoiced. For, as when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, so when one member is honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Chapter 8. He is chosen bishop while Valerius is still living, and is ordained by the primate Megalius. But the blessed and aged Valerius rejoiced more than others on this account, and gave thanks to God for the special blessing bestowed upon him. He began to fear, however, for such is human nature, that Augustine would be sought for the episcopal office, and be taken from him by some other church which lacked a bishop. And this would have happened, had not the bishop himself, since he knew of it, taken care that he should remove to a secret place, and had thus hidden Augustine so that he could not be found by those who sought him. But since the venerable old man still feared this, and realized that he was aged and very infirm, he communicated by a secret letter with the Bishop of Carthage, the episcopal primate, mentioning the weakness of his body and the burden of his years, and beseeching that Augustine might be ordained bishop of the Church of Hippo, because he would not in that case then succeed to his office, but would be associated with him as coadjutor bishop. And what he thus sought and desired, he obtained in a satisfactory answer. Later on, accordingly, when Megalius, bishop of Calama, and at that time primate of Numidia, had come at his request to visit the church at Hippo, unexpectedly to all, the bishop Valerius made his desire known to the bishops who happened at that time to be present, and to all the clergy of Hippo, and to all the people. But while all who heard rejoiced, and clamored most eagerly that this should be done and accomplished, the priest refused to accept the episcopate, contrary to the custom of the church, since his bishop was still living. However, when they had convinced him that this was generally done, and had appealed to examples from the churches across the sea, as well as in Africa, though he had been ignorant of it before, under compulsion and constraint he yielded, and accepted the ordination to the higher office. Later, he both said and wrote that this should not have been done in his case, namely, to ordain him while his bishop was still living, because of the prohibition of the ecumenical council of which he learned after his ordination. for that which he regretted to have had done in his case, he did not wish to have done to others. Therefore he endeavored to have it decreed by the councils of the bishops that the rules governing all the priests should be made known by the ordaining bishops to those about to be ordained and to those already ordained. And so it was done. End of part 2.